Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ah, and we're in, I think. Let me just see. Why can't I hear anything in this monitor's... say something.
We haven't got headphones.
No, but I should be able to hear via this monitoring. There we go. So you talk?
Hello.
Yes. Okay, great. Okay. The sound is amazing in my ears anyway.
It makes such a difference.
Yeah, we bought
having microphones.
Yeah. Last week we recorded into a phone, I think.
Yeah.
We didn't have any of this equipment.
Oh no, we were at
Tunbridge Wells.
We're at home.
Yeah, okay. How are you doing? I'm
terrible.
So she's that rustling you can hear is hay fever.
Oh God, I am really, really struggling, people.
Mm.
But it's so bad
because
I was sort of thinking, my goodness, I've taken an antihistamine and it hasn't even touched the sides.
I'm not right in thinking that antihistamines like make you feel a bit drowsy and sleepy.
There are non-drowsy ones, and they don't make me feel drowsy at all. But you can only take one every 24 hours. And I've just looked up how many can you take in an hour, because I'd quite happily take 4 right now. And you can only take one every 24 hours, and an overdose of antihistamine can kill you.
Yeah.
No, but like that's but I mean, even just or mixing antihistamines is very dangerous. You mustn't do it.
Mixing.
So I'm just saying, other antihistamines.
Other okay.
So you think, oh, I'll take the nasal spray and the don't do it. It's not good for you.
Don't take it all.
Nausea, vomiting, extreme drowsiness, a coma, you know, and death. That's what they talked about.
I went to see my neurologist guy this week.
And
he said, did you take those pills that I told you to take? And I said, I took them for about 5 days and then that was it. He said, okay, fine. He said, I'm a big believer in people healing themselves if they can. And I thought, oh, it's so nice to hear that.
Cause
I thought he was forcing pills onto me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he was at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, because he's like, take these, they'll make a big difference. But if you don't like them, then stop taking them. Mm. That's what he said. And I thought, I felt a bit shy about going back and saying, oh, I decided to come off them. I don't really like them. He said, no, no, no problem, no problem. He said, you know, they might have just done the trick in those 5 days. But he said, I'd much prefer you heal yourself.
It?
And I thought, yeah, I'd much prefer that as well. But yes, I mean, mixing too many pills and taking too many pills in a combination of them is deadly.
Well,
terrifying.
I mean, I don't like taking medicine
the best of times.
And I'm like fucking lather myself in bloody hormones every day. Mm. And, you know, then I'm taking thyroxine and, you know, antihistamine on top of all of that. You think, oh my God, I'm rattling. But and without antihistamine...
You look good, though.
I would be a wreck. I would. I'd be
really?
An absolute wreck.
Really?
Like, I could...
Yeah.
And normally what happens is there's a bad bit in the morning and a bad bit in the evening as the pollen all goes, and then it calms down in the day and then it calms down again at night.
Right.
This has been relentless all day. It's because we've had an amazing May.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, I love it when you play with my hair.
Yeah, well, I was just looking at it thinking, you know. I'll
it needs a bit of a do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to blow dry it for you later.
I washed it today.
Yeah, good.
So you could blow dry it. I'm really excited about it.
You've got work tomorrow.
I have.
So we're filming this, so recording this on a Saturday, and tomorrow you're on Sunday brunch.
I am.
And I thought to save time in the morning, I'm going to do your hair today for tomorrow.
It's a 3-hour record. It's
is
until
it?
12:30, I think.
Yeah, it's a big old schleppy
of
the Sunday morning show.
But it's fun. I've done it before,
and
it doesn't feel like you're on for ages at all. Mm. So tomorrow I'm on with... This isn't interesting for anybody, is it? Because it'll have happened.
You'd be up with Richard Madeley.
Richard Madeley, Richard Coles, Reverend Richard Coles, and David Seaman, and George Ezra.
Wow. All the boys.
All the
and
boys
one girl,
and me.
Eh?
Yay!
Yeah, I think it's a good show. And it's obviously been watched by lots of people with hangovers, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to watch the roundup of Hollyoaks every Sunday morning.
Yeah.
With an extreme hangover.
I used to watch 4 o'clock in the morning Saturday television a lot.
at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, there used to be like really quite funny shows going out at 4 o'clock
in the morning. Yes, they did. We've got lots of things to talk about this week. I've had a bumper week, and I have this little notes app on my phone where I drop things into it when I stumble across something that I like. It is jam-packed.
Oh,
I've got 4 episodes worth of stuff, so we'll not get through it all, I don't think. But the first thing I want to talk about is Obi-Wan on the Disney Channel.
Oh, yeah, so
tell
me about that.
So this is Ewan McGregor is back to reprise his role as Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Star Wars series Obi-Wan, I think it's called. Now, I don't know if you remember.
That's imaginative.
Yes, he was. But I don't know if you remember, but in Star Wars, the first film, he's called Ben Kenobi.
Yeah, because he's not an Obi-Wan yet.
Yeah, no, he is an Obi-Wan. He has to hide his Jedi powers from the Empire.
Because, I've forgotten all of
this. Yeah, yes, it's okay. So if you're not a Star Wars nut, it's fair enough. Like,
I love Star Wars.
I just mean like the listener, if you're not a Star Wars nut. Like I get the fact that not everybody's like immersed in it. And the Avengers universe, the Marvel universe, has kind of taken over from the Star Wars universe in many ways for lots of young people. But there's the bit where Anakin Skywalker falls into the volcano and becomes Darth Vader, essentially, at the end of Revenge of the Sith. And then the next film in the trilogy is Rogue One, where they find the plans to the Death Star.
Can we watch them all in order this summer?
Yeah, we definitely could. Rogue One's the best Star Wars film ever, by the way.
It's me too.
Absolutely brilliant. So this is between Revenge of the Sith, where Anakin Skywalker becomes Darth Vader, and Rogue One.
Oh my God, so it's a crack series.
It's huge, right?
No, but it's in the crack.
It's in the crack, yes, between those things. So you try and work out. So basically, at the end, the Empire wins, and all the Jedi have to go into hibernation is not the right word.
Hiding.
Go into hiding. And then there's these people trying to find all the Jedis and kill them all. Mm. So Obi-Wan Kenobi has changed his name to just Ben Kenobi now, and he's just living a normal
life. Does he not think that Kenobi's quite a recognisable surname?
Well, I think he's just Ben, but yeah, I mean, I haven't thought that. It's not that difficult,
Mr.
is it?
Mr. and Mrs. Kenobi and their son Ben,
for
but
the
he's
investigators.
Not Obi-Wan.
Yeah, so what's your surname? Kenobi? Well, let me think. But of course, there's a very young 10-year-old Princess Leia in it.
Oh!
Right?
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
She's in that timeline. So
he
is on Tatooine, essentially keeping his eye on a young Luke Skywalker and a young Princess Leia as they slowly grow up, you know, and he's trying
and
to
he
make
knows.
Sure that they're all right. So he's the only one who knows their background and where they're from and so on and so forth. But somebody has kidnapped Princess Leia. And he has to try and get her back for her adopted mum and dad, essentially.
Yeah.
So that's where you are with it. Now, it's not without its faults, but I love the Star Wars story altogether. Like, I love the whole kit and caboodle.
Because I do, but Chester slightly put me off. He was like, oh, I'm a bit disappointed.
Well, it is a bit.
It's not as good.
They've probably spent a lot of money on. Yeah, it's not as good as
The Mandalorian.
Or The Mandalorian. Yeah, The Mandalorian's very high.
It's hard to. But you would expect Ewan McGregor to be in something extremely as high-end as The Mandalorian. When you think about the main protagonist has got a mask on the entire way through and you get somebody like Ewan McGregor, a huge star, and it's not doesn't feel like it's got the same production values.
That's the problem. I think they've slightly scrimped on choreography of fight scenes. And, you know, there's a few other bits that feel a bit cheap. Some of the editing's really kind of jumpy and you think, hang on a sec, how did he get from there to there all of a sudden? So there's some obvious mistakes in it, I think. But I still love the story. And it only comes out once a week. There's 4 episodes available as of today, which is the 11th of June. And I've devoured them all. I watched the other one last night, I think, when I got into bed. And I'm really like, oh my God, I've got to wait for another week. So, in fact, the action's not that great and things like that. The story that I'm getting told, I'm really, really enjoying.
Oh, good.
And Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi have already fought. So you only ever see them fight once in the whole thing, which is at the Death Star when Darth Vader kills
Obi-Wan
Kenobi. Yes. Remember, he says, if you strike me down, I will become more powerful than you could ever imagine.
Yes.
So that's the only fight you ever really see in the whole of Star Wars, actually, a lightsaber fight. So they've already had a big clash, and you're thinking, oh my God, like I've waited my whole life to see Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader have a fight, you know, and here it is. So it's really good. Ewan McGregor's obviously doing a reasonably good job of being a young Alec Guinness.
Mm.
So he's not Scottish in it.
Right.
I'm always a bit disappointed because I just want to see, Shallow Grave Ewan McGregor. I want to see Renton from Trainspotting.
I was just going to say Renton.
Yeah. But so he's got this very kind of soft English posh voice in it. But if you can get past all the things that you need to get past in order to immerse yourself in the story, it's really good. So I'm absolutely loving it.
Oh, and if that's really good news.
Yeah, if you're interested in the Star Wars universe and the story, then just watch it and allow the faults just to wash over you. Because, you know, it's really good and it's a nice little missing piece of the jigsaw. So it's on Disney Plus. So you have to subscribe to Disney Plus. There's 4 episodes available already and they seem to be dropping every Friday, I think, in the mornings. So give it a shout, see what it's like.
I would like to tell you about something. I thought I've got no television to talk about and I haven't got any television to talk about, but I've got some television to talk about by proxy because... Mm-hmm. My daughter is watching the full series of Stranger Things and she showed me a clip of something that made me think, I want to go back and watch the whole 4 series again. I watched the first series and then I didn't watch any more and I'd like to go and binge watch it all because it's the type of horror that I can watch. Mm. I don't know why.
Well, because it's fantasy, I think.
Yes, maybe.
Whereas Wolf Creek was real story, you know. Yeah.
So... and I think also Joel has helped me, your son.
Yeah.
He's slightly desensitized me because he watches, he's trying to get me into horror.
Yeah.
And he's showed me some quite hardcore horror. Right? Yeah. And he sort of talks to me while it's happening. So it helps me a bit because I believe everything is real. Anyway, Stranger Things. I said, Kate Bush running up that hill.
Yes.
Kate Bush is having like, her moment.
Yeah, it's all
she's having
back,
her
yeah.
noughties, her 20s moment, where running up that hill is a massive hit.
Yes.
And I am going to show you, because I said to Holly, why have you all gone mad for running up that hill? Mm-hmm. And she said to me, which really whet my appetite, she said, it is quite possibly the best use of music to TV made. And I said, what makes you say that? She said, someone said it somewhere on YouTube or a reviewer or something. But I said... Wow, people are saying that this song is the best use of me. Anyway, I thought, well, how good can it be? So Holly briefly explained to me the scene that it was in. I was like, okay. She said, now watch it on YouTube. I sobbed.
Did you?
I don't even know what the blooming story is about or what's going on. So I'm going to tell you now what happens. And then I'm going to show you off camera.
Okay.
We're not going to watch it like, I'm going to show you. It's very short.
Yeah.
And... we're going to discuss after we've watched it. So what happens is a girl that's very good friends with Eleven, who is the English girl, Millie, whatever her name is, and her friends, they're all young. Mm-hmm. They're at school. The bad man from this series, who is a bit Hellraiser, he's really frightening. He's so horrible. And the bad man is taking children's souls and he's got this little girl and he basically... is taking their souls and he's all powerful and that nobody can get away. The only thing that can save you is if you can think of something happy, but he's already got into this girl's head.
Yeah.
And in the real world, because this is happening in the underneath
in
or the
kind of multiverse
whatever
thing.
It's
yeah,
called.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
In the real world, the boys can see that this is happening. She's been lifted up off the ground. Her eyes have gone pale and they're like, oh my God. So they put headphones on her before she goes up in the sky from like a Walkman headphones.
Yeah, yeah.
And they play Running Up That Hill to remind her of them and a day that they spent together listening to that song. Mm. And this song brings back all these memories of
nice
her childhood.
Nice memories, presumably, yes.
Well, and you'll see it moving. But then something happens and she starts running. This girl's acting is... unparalleled. I was watching this girl run. I've never wanted anybody to get away from somebody so much in all my life. I'm not going to say whether she got away or not because I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm quickly going to show you this clip on the YouTubes. How good is that?
Yeah, amazing.
I mean, it's quite funny not watching a series at all. I nearly cried again.
Yeah.
She's fantastic, that girl.
This week, you know about the third person that said, are you watching Stranger Things at the moment, the new series? I'm like, no. I watched the first series and then never watched anymore. I watched episode 1 and 2, I think, of season 2, but it just kind of passed me by at that point.
Well, I'm the same, so I think maybe that's the thing. We've been looking for lots of things to watch together, and I think that's it.
What, you mean this is it? We should watch this together?
I think we should watch some of episode series 1 again, because I've forgotten everything.
Well, let's do a YouTube recap on season 1.
Okay,
and
then let's start from series 2.
And start from series 2.
I'd really love to do that.
It's great. A friend of mine once had this theory.
It's extraordinary. They are amazing.
Yes, and of course they've been together for quite a while now, these kids, right? And
I
think someone was saying... Now they're older, the show has got slightly older in its themes and slightly more terrifying. Because I felt like it was a show for kids, slightly aimed at adults.
Yeah.
But I guess now it's probably crossed the line where it's slightly older.
It's totally crossed the line because I've watched other bits because Holly's watching it.
Mm.
And it's totally crossed the line. I keep forgetting Winona Ryder's in it.
Oh, yeah.
And she's really good.
Yes, I remember her being fab in it. Mm. Yeah. A friend of mine had this theory, I think, I don't know if it was Jeff Lloyd, it was on his breakfast show or his radio show, was that, or like, there's enough music in the world now. No, we don't need to make any more, essentially, was his theory.
What?
Yes, I know. But actually, you could live the rest of your life and never really repeat listening to any songs because there's so much stuff you haven't heard, for instance.
Yeah.
And everything's been made. Everything's appropriate for something about it.
And this, every song is a cover of another song in some form or another.
Yes, there's only 12 notes or something, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, so, 8 in an octave.
Yes, but that includes semitones.
No.
Okay. It was only because somebody in that that Jacob Collier documentary said there's 12 notes all over the world. That's it, you know?
Ah, okay.
But I've always thought there was 8 as well, but I am paraphrasing somebody else.
No, great.
Who knows whether either of us are right.
No, I think you're probably right.
But here's a really good example of a piece of music that had slightly been forgotten about in many ways being applied to some piece of art.
Well, I mean, totally forgotten about. Because think about it. It was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Amazing. It was the 80s.
Mm.
And... But what I love about it is that Kate Bush is an artist.
Oh, my God.
And she's been performing and working on music since she was a teenager, 15, a really young teenager. I think Virgin Records discovered her. And
it was the guy from Pink Floyd that discovered
her. Was it?
Yeah.
She is a genius. She was the kind of Jacob Collier. Like, for me, I just can't. And she stood out, and she's continually stood out, and she continues to stand out. Any new music she's brought out is also extraordinary.
Mm.
But I'm so pleased that she's... Because it does mean that an entire generation of kids, age, will go back into the whole Kate Bush library and get as much from her as we did.
Yeah. I've got goosebumps everywhere. I know. Well, I used to, as you know, I did her hair for a long time, and I used to think I'd love it if she'd just go on Graham Norton and sing a song on the piano. Because I thought, not that she doesn't realise, but there's a whole generation of people that would just love her.
And also, whose minds would be blown.
Oh my God, like, they'd be like, can you imagine?
What?
I did send her an email once saying, you really should think about just doing that. You don't have to do the interview thing. Just do the music bit and leave, you know.
Amazing.
It's just outrageous. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Did you do her hair for her concerts?
No, but I did all the publicity photos for her hair for the concerts.
Because obviously me and Amanda Harris went to the concerts.
I went to the concerts,
and I sat and cried the whole way through.
Yeah, it's very good. She's brilliant.
Phenomenal.
Brilliant. So it's great to see that. A similar thing happened to Paul Weller when Billy Elliot came out in a town called Malice.
Yes.
And there was a bunch of kids that all around the country just went, what is this song?
Yes.
It is brilliant, you know. And it's so nice when there's a resurrection of a brilliant song like that. But yeah,
I'm going to write down what we're talking about because I always forget.
Yeah. So I was going through YouTube and looking at various things and all that, as you do in the wee small hours, and I stumbled across this thing called Justin Hawkins Rides Again.
How did you find that?
I don't know, but he came up doing a review of the Arctic Monkeys' Do I Wanna Know.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is interesting. I wonder what Justin Hawkins thinks of one of my all-time favourite songs. So it turns out he's got a YouTube channel, and it's got pretty good subscribers, 147,000 subscribers.
Oh, that's great.
And he basically does this little interview. They're about 20 minutes long, 15 to 20 minutes long, where he basically maybe talks about a song or an artist or some kind of music. But I mean, he is so talented, this guy. It is off
Justin Hawkins.
The charts, yeah. I mean...
What makes you say that?
Well, because he plays musical instruments in these
videos. Oh, I see. Does he?
And he breaks down the song for you.
I didn't know in what way he was talented or what he does in it.
He is a musical genius of epic proportions. And I remember seeing him for the first time. My brother Grant had come to do some work experience with me. He was only about 15 or 16. And Jules Holland was on, and The Darkness came on, and we were like,
"Yeah, he's
what the hell is this?
Yeah, again, you know, mind
leotards
blowing, right?
And all that stuff."
Mm.
And they started playing, and he stood up on the top of Jules Holland's grand piano and played this guitar solo. And me and my brother looked at each other, and were like, "What has just happened to the TV?" You know, it's just like, Jesus, this guy was amazing. And this is right in the heart of Britpop, right?
And so also, he's got leotard on. I was just going to say, like...
A permed kind of mullet thing with highlights in it. You know, and then he's singing...
It felt like a piss take at the beginning.
I couldn't work out if it was a parody or was a real thing or whatever. And then, of course, they released an album and it went double platinum and all the rest of it. And then they seemed to just turn into a parody of an 80s rock band or something.
Well, he had a problem with addiction.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, because there's this... I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's this great scene at the Wembley Arena where he comes out on a giant pair of tits and he's in the tits playing the guitar as this thing kind of moves around the ceiling, you know. And it was just like, oh, you've crossed the line, you know. Like the whole thing was just bizarre. But you couldn't deny the fact that he could sing virtually in any octave across the range. He was faultless with his singing. But the way he could play the guitar and all the rest of it was amazing. So he does these things
Can
where...
Can I quickly say?
Yes.
Do you remember him on The Masked Singer?
Yes, of course. And then you introduced me to him one night when we bumped into him somewhere.
At the opera.
Yeah. He could easily be an opera singer. But I was just blown away by this video. So I watched this video and the other thing that's quite interesting is how many different hairstyles he's got. But look at this in this jacket.
Today
who's got that jacket?
You have!
Right?
Oh my God!
Yeah, amazing, right? So this is a video that says, let me explain why AC/DC are so good. So what he essentially does is he listens to a bit of the song and then he plays it for you and he breaks every single structure down of the chord and tells you why these two chords are good together and why this works and why this doesn't work.
Oh my God, I'm going to love this. But wait, I also love his clothes. Every outfit's a winner. He's like your new style icon.
Let me just find. So, it's a bit here. So, he'll be playing something.
Give the out-of-tune guitar. I tried to tune it to the record, but a lot of this AC/DC stuff is probably tuned by ear. I don't think they tended to use tuners because you hear a lot of variation between the songs.
But he did a good one about Liam Gallagher, and he talks about a little bit about, like, in the early days when they first came out, Liam Gallagher stopped him in the street. He jumped out of his car and he said, wow, your record is absolutely banging. He was like, oh my God, that's amazing, you know. And then later on, I think Noel Gallagher said something scathing about him. So he said something a bit cheeky about Noel Gallagher and they all fell out. And then that was the end of that, you know. And he said it was a real shame because, you know, he loved Oasis and he loved their music and everything. But, you know, he realised it was their songs were quite limited and what they were doing was something else, you know. But he breaks all that down and it's just fabulous. So you get loads of little backstories of things that gigs he was at with various people, things he'd worked with, but also just watching him play these guitars and also just telling you why the song is the way it is and why it works. It's just, I love the deconstruction of any art.
You know, it's interesting because I think possibly as an artist, he might have thought, who wants to watch this?
Yeah.
Who would ever be interested? But actually, that is... Oh, look, Kate Bush.
Ah, yes.
Stranger Things.
Oh, the Stranger Things. Yeah, what the hell just happened? So there's a little video on that.
Hi, Justin Hawkins. And this is Justin Hawkins Rides Again, my YouTube channel. You know that series, Stranger Things?
Oh my God, how funny.
Yeah.
Switch roles. So
does he play the guitar in it?
Might know from their own youth, just because it's popular and trendy all of a sudden.
No, maybe not.
Oh, that's so
but,
great.
I'd be worth listening to that. Yeah.
Just want to point out that he is ultimately just a really likeable man.
Yes.
The way he talks, the way he expresses himself, he's like a soft, likeable man.
If you're interested in music at all, which I know lots of you are, then go and have a watch of some of these or just go through his channel and have a little look. The Arctic Monkeys one is about Do I Want to Know? And he raves about it, but also deconstructs it. And it's just great because I totally agree with it. The Liam Gallagher one's really interesting as well, because I'm not a big fan of Liam Gallagher, but he actually makes him quite endearing. And he talks about the moments in the song that are extremely good and actually quite weird, odd. That would be an odd choice of chord change and stuff like that he's really impressed with. And then there's other bits of the song, and he said it's a bit generic, this bit, like anybody does this. And then he talks about the drum beats and stuff like that. And I'm just
brilliant.
Oh, God, it's so nice listening to this. So well done, Justin Hawkins, first of all, for this thing.
Yeah, and
but there's
we
so
really
much,
like Justin Hawkins.
Yeah, there's so much to learn in here about music as well. So it's on the YouTube. It's called Justin Hawkins Rides Again. And you can subscribe to that and have a little listen to some of them.
Talking of rides... Oh, God, that was so good. I want to talk to you about a book that Angela Scanlon sent me.
Oh, my God.
I love Angela
That's
Scanlon.
Her book?
Yes.
Yes.
It is a book. Do you remember Lessons I've Learned?
Of course I do, yeah.
It's a bit that.
I listened to the audio book of that. You read it to me without realising.
That's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got a little bookmark in it that I really like that she gave me. It says special.
Nice.
On it. It says, think of this in Angela Scanlon voice.
Do the voice.
No, I'm not going to do the voice. There are a million books you could have chosen, and here we are. Thank you. I hope you find something here that lovingly kicks you up the arse or gently leads you to the unexpected places. Let's go. Here's my theory. People are either dogs or cats. Cats are slick and self-assured. They're grounded and confident. They love themselves, which is why many people think they're arrogant. Dogs, on the other hand, will roll over and pant and lick and knead. They will do anything for you. They will love you forever, but often at the expense of themselves. I'm a dog. I wish I was a cat. Or maybe a cog, some sort of hybrid animal that was centered enough to love myself but not be a selfish cow. But here's the thing. Self-love is not selfish. It's not obnoxious or indulgent. It doesn't come at the expense of other types of love that are deemed more acceptable. Yes, it's written on T-shirts and mugs and all manner of shite, but the act itself is something that can't be bought. Self-love is the start of everything, and without it, we're on borrowed time, living a life that's dictated by everyone around us. Everyone we're trying to make love us because we can't love ourselves. Loving ourselves comes only when we fully know ourselves, when we're familiar with all the murky, annoying parts too, and we accept them eventually.
It's a really interesting idea, that the self-love thing. It's very hard for some people to love themselves, isn't it?
It's really...
And I don't have the answer for that, but when people say, you've got to learn to love yourself, you think,
how?
Help me, for God's sake, like, how do I do that?
Well, this is what I think is really interesting, that all of these... chapters in this book are very short, which again I really like. This is a pick up, put down book, and Angela Scanlon has absolutely 100% written this in her own voice. It is true, it is real, it is very interesting. There's bits of science in there, there's lovely pages where she's written quotes. And all the quotes are nice, so you can flick through and try and find a quote that will make you, which might help you with you. I've loved it because she also does little quotes in there, and at the bottom, you know, some are by Gandhi, some are by other kind of big thinkers, and then sometimes at the bottom she just puts me.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
This is my thought.
I've written this one, and this is how I feel about it.
Yeah, good.
But she's really warm, and it feels like she's holding your hand on a journey to try and navigate your way to liking yourself
a bit more. Yeah.
And like you said, it's elusive and it's difficult. The cover, I think, is great. It's called Joyrider, How Gratitude Can Help You Get the Life You Really Want. And... on the front by Marianne Keyes. Marianne Keyes is a wise and beautiful book, she says, and Holly Willoughby says it's beautiful and important.
Ah, great.
So I left Angela a message and I think I made her cry.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
She's meant to love herself, not cry. Yeah. You know, so I think you might have.
I've got this feeling that she's done an enormous amount of personal growth recently. Mm-hmm. And I think she is at that age where you do explore yourself a lot. You know, in your mid to late 30s, it is a time where you really look into yourself. And that's obviously what she's done. But she's a good thinker, Angela. But she's, you know, to use the word shite in a book is just really refreshing.
Yes. I love the cat and dog analogy as well.
Yeah.
I
mean, I'm a dog. Yeah. I really wish I was a cat.
Yeah, I wish I was a cat.
Or a cog.
Yes. There's a bit in the Supersonic documentary when Noel Gallagher says, I'm a cat. Basically, I'm a bit of a bastard. And cats are, I mean, they do have that air of arrogance about them, like, because they simply don't need you.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need anybody.
You can go out for the night and, in fact, decide to stay in a hotel and the cats will be fine.
Yeah, they're not. They don't
even care. Oh, you've come back.
But the dog needs you, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, the dog will sit by the door.
It's fascinating.
Whining.
So one of the great things about having cats and dogs, I guess, is that they're such a kind of reflection of all the bits of you. And that's what we love about them, I think, is they kind of, seeing it in the dog somehow forgives us our little faults and everything, because we realise that they're inbuilt to these things. Like, dogs aren't socially constructed in that way. They're they're bred, yes, and they have personality traits of that breed. It doesn't matter how you treat them. Mm. Well, of course it matters how you treat them, but you understand what I mean.
I know
they
have
the personality type within the breed, and as do you because of your ancestry and me and all the rest of it. But
yeah, I know exactly what you
mean. It sounds great, that book. Well done, Angela. And she's a lovely girl
as
well.
She's such a nice girl. I mean, I really like her a lot. Yeah.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, I watched the TV show this week.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. Oh, I couldn't get enough of it. I was so disappointed. I watched it all in 2 nights. It's on All 4, so you can get it for free, essentially.
Oh, yes,
on the
you've
All
told
4
me about
app.
This. This is amazing.
It's called Chivalry. It scores a disappointing rate on IMDb. I think.
Have you rated it yet?
5.9. I haven't, no. So,
well, that's why.
That is a very good idea. Chivalry. There we go. So it only scores 5.9. I would easily give it a 7. I think it's absolutely knockout. So it's written by Steve Coogan and the other girl who is in it, who's called Sarah Solmani.
Yeah, Solmani.
Solmani? That sounds like it's got a better ring to it, you know. Mm. I've seen her in other things before.
Me too.
She's
fantastic.
Been an actress, and I think she's been a writer and a director, so there's all sorts of stuff that she's done. She is absolutely fab
she's
in it.
She's knockout, isn't she?
Yes. And the story is a kind of post-Me Too idea. A successful producer and a woke writer-director are brought closer by a creeping attraction and a feeling that they are just pawns in a studio's agenda for a Saudi Arabian buyout. I mean, that doesn't really do it any justice, but basically, Steve Coogan's produced a film with a very kind of male chauvinist
pig,
French director pig, who's made a real kind of quirky, horrible, slightly misogynistic film. And she has been brought in, this woke director has been brought in to do some of the reshoots on some scenes to kind of bring it into line. The French director's furious about this, but in the opening scenes, he dies of a heart attack and she's left with the remnants of this film and wants to reshoot the sex scenes, but with a slightly more modern agenda in this kind of Me Too arena. Steve Coogan's part of the old guard, but he's trying to become like acceptable.
He's
and
trying
more
to
new.
Change.
He's absolutely trying to change in this very kind of difficult, clunky landscape, and he doesn't know how to navigate it. There's a brilliant scene where they're about to discuss a sex scene, him and the director, and she says, oh, you know, in order to do this by the rules, we have to have a woman in the room if we're going to discuss a sex scene. And he says, oh, what kind of woman? And he says, sorry. And then he says, well, how old? Or no, sorry, like how big? It doesn't really matter, does it? Any woman, like, let's get a woman in the room so we can discuss this scene. And it's just absolutely brilliant where he's just thinking, what am I saying?
Why, like, did I say that?
Yeah. It's just like, Jesus. So, and then also, what's really interesting about it is that she is quite firm in her kind of slightly feminist, woke beliefs, and rightly so in many ways, but she gets drawn into behaving in a way that she doesn't like, but she can't. Not in a way, because if you want to compete in this landscape, you almost have to be part of the landscape. So,
and the
it's
other thing
really
is, there's
good...
the assistant Steve Coogan, who's really good.
Yeah.
She's on
This Time.
This Time.
Yeah.
And the mixture of her and the female director and Coogan, all of whom are different in their beliefs and their attitudes to the new landscape.
Yes.
And all of them make you think a bit, like, oh my God, she said that. Oh, she believes that. Oh, but then, oh, I wasn't expecting her to believe that. And then You kind of think how mixed and messed up we all are, because we all have these agendas. Everybody in this is kind of saying the wrong thing almost all the time, and then not knowing what they can say and what they can't say. It's quite interesting.
And it's a mixture of race, class, gender, power, hierarchy. It's all everything in there. And, you know, certain things buy you certain privileges, I guess, you know, and all of that is explored and displayed. So it's not without its faults again. I think, like, there's criticisms of it.
But it's saying, thought-provoking, you know, I think.
I just loved all of it. And every episode I thought, oh, she's...
How many?
I think there's only six episodes. Mm. They're about 24 minutes each, so they're an easy digestible bunch.
Yes.
Coogan's ever so slightly Partridge-esque, but I love the Partridge-esque
a
bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's not massive.
No.
I say that with a complete air of positivity. It makes it better because he wants to be able to say the thing. Because the thing about Partridge is he gets to say all the things that Alan would like to say that nobody else could say, but he thinks he's Alan Partridge. And I guess this character is trying hard not to say the things that Alan would say. You know, so you can see all that in there. But I just loved the whole thing. It's a brilliant, brilliant thing to watch. And it's a really easy thing to watch. And especially, I think, husbands and wives or partners.
Yes, they'd really love.
Would really like it because you'll both see different things in it. Because the female character is equally as important as the male character in this thing. And the way they kind of cross-pollinate the stuff is superb.
I also love things that you can watch with your partner and then have a debrief afterwards. You know?
Oh, yes.
It's the kind of thing you could watch and then go and have a coffee in the kitchen and go, okay, let's talk that through.
I totally agree. There is talk of a second series, and one of the reasons I want to talk about this thing and get people to watch it, so it gets recommissioned, because there's so many places you could go with this thing. It is fantastic. Yes. I loved every single second of it. I think it's a Baby Cow production thing, which if you're interested in following an account about comedy on Instagram, Baby Cow Productions is Steve Coogan's production company. And I think that made things like Gavin and Stacey and all that kind of stuff. But it's made tons of really brilliant, like, edgy comedy for BBC Three, BBC Two, Channel Four, all that stuff. They're well worth a follow. But well done to the team there for making Chivalry. It's superb.
I've got a song.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our new obsession with Jacob Collier.
Yeah.
Well, it's not new. We've been obsessed with him forever. But I found Lizzie McAlpine. It's called Erase Me. And he features on it.
Who does?
Jacob Collier.
Ah, yes. Okay.
I've played it to you.
Yes.
It's really good. It's quite a pop song, but she's got a fantastic voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she is worth a listen. She's very young. She's very new. It's called Erase Me. It's by Lizzie McAlpine, spelt exactly as you'd think, Lizzie with a Y.
Okay.
And through her, I ended up finding an Instagram account of singers from, I think they're from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Boston, Massachusetts. And they're called Tiny Habits. And it is a guy called, I think he's called Judah. I'm just waiting to see the... Judah, yeah. Judah. She's called... Sinya and Maya. It's three voices, but they do occasionally invite a fourth voice in, but they just do a cappella. Well, it's not a cappella because they've got guitars, acoustic versions of songs, but they are really, really good.
Oh, wow.
Very Jacob Collier sort of esque with their breakdowns and their chords. And they've got nearly 50,000 followers, but really nice if you want to listen to a nice, gentle breakdown of a song.
Ah, great. Mm. I've done a lot of music on this one. I'm going to finish with one final bit of music. Yeah, a bit of a flourish. So,
I'm so excited about this.
We went nightclubbing. Was it last weekend?
Can we just say that again?
Yeah. Let me just.
What did
sure
we do?
Not mess this up. We went nightclubbing.
Yeah, we did, Michael.
We were like young people.
Yeah, we were.
I think we might have talked about this.
We did.
Last
we talked
week,
about but, the fact that we got there 10 minutes before it opened.
So, but I was studying the DJ as he was DJing, and I kept thinking.
And you said you were going
to
practice.
I'd love to do a bit of DJing, you know. And then I thought, well, my son's got some decks because I bought him some decks for Christmas last year.
And naturally, now you're on them.
He's done it, so yeah. So I nicked them, and I thought, well, I'll download a bit of software. So I found this bit of software, and it's called DJ Pro AI. All right. And it is free. I've got a little MacBook Air thing. I haven't got anything fancy. I downloaded it for free, and then I dropped some music into it. And
so how hard is it to download? Like,
it's easy. You just go to the website and download it. It just says download
and it
here.
All comes up on your computer.
I think it's on the App Store. You know, there's the App Store.
Yeah, yeah.
You just got the App Store and download it.
Oh, okay.
I think
oh
there's
God.
Some in-app purchases. I haven't made any in-app purchases,
so
by the way.
So you've made music with no in-app purchases?
This has been completely free.
Oh, God.
And then you can essentially do this on your laptop. You don't need these decks, but I plugged the decks in. My God, it is so good. I mean, I was like Pete Tong and Fatboy Slim all rolled into one.
I am so excited because we're definitely going to Ibiza.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you're
going
to be playing at like Ibiza Rocks.
So we're going to cut to the bit where I'm going to show you how I used it. Okay, so we've moved on to some new audio equipment so I can show you this. So one of the big problems is, as I've already said, what?
This is brilliant.
Yeah? Why?
I love you showing me something new.
Okay, good.
That you have learned. It's just really, really cute.
One of the problems is, as I think I've already said, is that you have to own the music. You can't play stuff from iTunes or Spotify. You have to buy the music and own it on your own laptop.
Oh, okay.
So you buy the CD and convert it into MP3s and put it in. Or you can go into Apple iTunes library and buy the songs at about 99p each. But you can't play stuff. Because, I don't know if you know this or not, in iTunes or Spotify, you don't own any of that music. You lease it. They own it. And you just use...
Spotify own it.
Yeah, or iTunes. And you pay them to lease the music. But they own it. When you stop paying them, they take it back. You don't get to keep it.
Yeah, performing rights, right?
I guess so, yeah. Whereas when you buy a CD, you now own that music and you can do what you like with it because you bought it.
Right, so does that mean that we can play it on this?
Yes, well, I think we're allowed to play 15 seconds of anything legally. So Saskia will have to do a very clever job.
Saskia, you work that out and make sure that that is true and correct.
I bought the song Skyfall of Stars by Coldplay just because I quite like that song and I heard David Guetta
quite like.
DJ that song in Las Vegas and I remember thinking, wow. If I was going to DJ any song, I'd DJ this song, right?
Yes.
So anyway, I downloaded the software and it's called DJ Pro AI. It's completely free.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's on the Mac.
Oh.
You download it for free.
Okay.
Well, the iPad, I think, is the same. And then you can buy some DJ decks here, which I've got here, which are Sunny's. I bought these for him for Christmas.
Yeah.
I'll find out how much these are and talk about this in a minute. But these are from Pioneer and they seem to make all the greatest DJ stuff. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm so with you.
Okay, great. So here's the song here, as you can see it here. I know the viewers can't, but you can see the whole length of the song and waveforms there. So if we just press play on that, you'll hear the song.
Okay.
Okay, so, well, legally, well, I'll speed it up a bit so we'll get to it. Okay, so there's the him singing the song. So you can remove the music that you don't want. So that's him and the drums, basically.
Oh my God, I love it already.
Right, but not only that, you can put your own drums in. Right, so, wait.
Shut.
Oh, that's not like that one, no.
No.
Well, let's go ahead. Right. And I'll come in a minute, and then you...
Oh my God, hilarious.
Yeah? Right? And then, obviously, you can change these around a little bit and get a few different... Okay, and then you bring back in the vocals. And then you can drop out their drums.
That is so good. Oh God, can you keep doing this and then we can go to Ibiza next summer?
Yeah, totally right. And then, wait. Wait.
I wish you could see his face. It's amazing.
Right. Oh, so that's the music that I put in there. So you can change all this. So you don't need to be playing anything. But it runs at the same beat and level as the other song. So when you reintroduce the song...
It just all fits.
Okay, so that was it. That's it, really. I mean, I didn't use the Dex there. I was just using it on the computer. But when you plug the Dex in as well and you can twiddle all the knobs and get things going, I can't tell you just how much fun it was. And that's taken me no longer than an hour.
Are you serious?
Totally deadly serious. Now, I am quite good with computers. So
yeah, you are.
I can navigate my way around Photoshop and all of that kind of stuff and some edit suite. So if you've used an edit suite or some kind of software like that, or even, you know, PowerPoint, you know, yeah, you'd be able to navigate your way around this quite quickly. But the things it can do can make you sound really like a very competent DJ very quickly. And if nothing else, if to do to remove myself
that sounded
from the stress,
so good.
It's good, wasn't it? You know, and literally, I just made that up on the spot. I've been playing with that
Chris
song.
Chris Martin did help you a bit.
Yes, of course. Yeah, of course. It was a really good bit of fun. And also, it removed my brain from thinking about work for like half an hour just messing around with stuff. And once I was in it and then realising what you can do with it. But just go onto YouTube and get a little basic tutorial. And then if you want to try something a bit more flash, there's just endless bits of information on the internet for you to learn how to use this stuff. But if you love music and you like the idea of mixing your own songs and stuff like that, absolutely, it's completely free, it's brilliant. But the DJ Dex, they're from Pioneer, they're called DDJ 200. They're £139.
DDJ 200.
They're £139. They're really worth it, a brilliant gift or a present if you've got sons or daughters who really love music.
I mean, I'm always talking about hobbies.
Oh, yeah,
you
yes.
You know, if you like music, this is a way of...
It's really interesting. In the chivalry thing, if you get around to watching later episodes, Steve Coogan says to her, "What do you do for a hobby?" And she said, "I don't have hobbies. I'm a mother."
This is it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
This is exactly what I was saying last week, now that my kids are older.
Yeah, but it's really interesting because Steve's not a father in this, but I have had a propensity to pick up hobbies along the way and also been a very hands-on father. But I feel like there's something about men that would sacrifice other bits of their lives in order to do a hobby.
Well, that's why men have historically in the past been the only ones to have a shed in the garden.
Yes.
Because men need to go and hobbyise.
Yeah,
But women are busy keeping house. That was like the traditional role. But now I think, you know, there was like a man cave and a she shed. I mean, it was hilarious.
It was interesting that we'd had this discussion. You said, I don't have hobbies. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if it's a gender thing or whether it's just...
Possibly is.
Yeah, yeah. But then it came up in chivalry and that it's just really got me thinking about it. And I think, so women, do you have hobbies? Like, let us know. I'd be really interested. Do your husbands or partners have hobbies and you don't? Or...
Well, what I think is interesting is that in the past, I haven't wanted to have a hobby because nobody had hobbies. But now seeing you get so much joy out of your music... It's made me really think, I want to find something that gives me that extracurricular joy that you get.
And it's a real breather from your own life as well, you know. Yeah. So anyway, I've loved this. I really hope you love it too. So like I say, it's a brilliant gift for somebody.
Can I just say, the next thing we're going to talk about, you've made something that's very bad for my waistline. I can't stop eating it.
We'll be quick. This is a bumper episode, really, up to 60 minutes. Can you believe that?
Well, quickly.
Okay, so I'm doing some work with a company who sent me something called a masher, which is spelt mash with an A on the end.
Masher!
Masher. Now, I love sausage
and mash. Can I quickly say something?
Yeah.
My French granny was called...
Masher.
Masher.
Really?
Spelt like that.
Yeah. So, the company I'm doing some work with, they work with other products and other houseware products and kitchen utensil things and stuff like this. I love sausage and mash. You love sausage and mash.
Love it.
And I always do the mash. You do the sausages when we have it.
Yeah.
You've got a terrible masher.
I've got a terrible masher.
And it barely mashes. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't really mash.
And then other mashers that I've bought are pretty rubbish as well.
Oh,
and
God,
I want one of those rice mashers that CGME Oliver use where they put potatoes in, they squeeze a handle, and it comes out of like a sieve almost.
Do you know what that is?
What's it called?
Passoir.
A passoir.
It's French.
And what does that mean?
It's a masher.
A masher.
It's a French masher.
So anyway, this thing is exactly like a blender, to the point where you might think, oh, it's just a blender, I've already got one of them. No, you haven't. It's a completely different thing. Because what there is through the sides of the blender is holes in the masher. So you've got a blade that runs around in the middle and forces all the potato through the holes, which is how it comes out in this absolutely smooth paste.
It's too good.
Not puree, perfectly mashed potatoes.
That's so good.
So there's about 50 mils of cream in here, double cream.
Oh.
There's a lump of butter in here and a pinch of salt.
That's why I like it so much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I bought these potatoes from nowhere in particular.
Oh my God, it's
I always do skin on mash as well.
No, but wait.
Skin's the best bit.
How good is that?
Oh my God, it's outrageous. So it's £45 a masher. Go and have a look on the old Google, see where you can get it from. I would get one in a heartbeat if you like mash. Mashed potato is the easiest potato you can make.
Mm.
And if you can mash it quickly and easily.
Gives.
Boom.
I mean, roast chicken with mashed potato and gravy. Shut up.
It's great, isn't
it? So good. Can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
I am still buzzing from the CEO of Honey Badette knowing that I'm alive.
Yeah, no, I know. I can see
and
that.
And not only that, I've been in touch with her. Now I'm literally like, my nose is so far up her jacksy. I love her so much. We're now messaging.
Wait.
Michael, okay. The best bit.
Uh-huh.
She listens to the podcast and has done for ages. And her husband, listens to some of the recommendations that you do.
Oh, good.
Like the blokey things.
Can I say?
Not that I'm trying to be sexist or anything, saying women can't do
if you can keep up the good work with the underwear,
yeah,
I'd be delighted.
Mm.
You know.
You do reap benefits from it. But I'm just letting you know that I would, and I did.
You'd wear it anyway.
I wore sexy underwear when I was single.
Mm.
All the time.
Good. I love all that stuff and this mashed potato.
Well, you benefit from it, but I benefit from it the most.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure about that. Okay, quick shout outs because we've been going on for ages on this.
Oh my God,
one.
I've got to move the mashed potato. It's got to go.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to have a little steak with that before we go out.
I really enjoyed today.
Yeah, good. Me too. It's been great.
We've just got a dearth of things that we don't normally talk about.
Yes, and it's been
there
nice,
are some things that I would really like to talk about, but I have to wait until next week now.
Roz Taylor says, hey, just listen to this week's episode. Tesco Club Card is definitely a great loyalty card.
Yes.
I got my Disney Plus subscription on it. Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Wow.
Davina said about having lots of cards in your purse. There's a great app called Stowcard. Yeah, I've got Stowcard.
Shut up.
Where you can store all your cards details on.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Why have I not got that app?
Well, because I think the Apple Wallet is slightly usurped.
But you can't put Stowcard things on your Apple Wallet.
Well, you can put lots of. I've got lots of cards on there.
My
Nectar cards on there.
I don't understand how you put them on.
Gym cards on there.
What?
Soho House cards on there. All that stuff. So
help me.
Yes, I will. But yes, Stowcard is really good. Thanks, Ross Taylor. That is super helpful, and it's good to hear about the Tesco Club Card still doing a good job. After Michael suggested only following Insta accounts that bring happiness, I'd like to recommend one called Wanastet. 3D sculptures and mesmerising looping animations.
Okay, I'm going to look at it.
My favourite currently are Split and Sliding Zeus XL. Happy weekend. This is from Lara Trowin. That sounds great because I love... Oh, is that it?
Oh, my God. Lara, this is... I've just clicked on the... satisfying.
Fan.
Michael.
Ooh. I mean, they look so real.
Oh, God, it's like erotic. Yeah. Oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Look, who's liked it?
Jacob Collier. Oh, my God.
This is quite
freaky.
Weird.
Yes, he's everywhere, this guy.
Happy New Year.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Oh, this is extremely satisfying.
Hi, guys. After hearing you mention throwback TV on Insta, which I absolutely love. Yeah, I love the throwback TV. I thought I'd share with you this one, too. I follow Old Fashioned Vibes. Have you watched that?
No.
Oh, it's just like loads of really old TV commercials from the 40s and 50s and loads of stuff like what it was like watching toothbrushes getting made in factories in the 1960s and stuff like that. It's really good. Old Fashioned Vibes. Emma Barton. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Old Fashioned Vibes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm writing all of this down so we can mention it.
It's really good. Thank you, Emma. You have a lovely weekend too. Oh my God, this is an epic. Let's do this one and then we'll call it a day. Caroline.
Yeah.
Caroline Cartwright. Thank you.
Yep.
Hi, Davina and Michael. Just listened to your pod today and thought I'd mention a couple of things that have made my year. So I'm a huge music fan and got a little stalled with some of the usual radio stations. I fell across Radio X and their music has really
Chris Moyles.
Yeah, I mean, there's loads of good stuff.
I love
on radio
Chris Moyles.
X, yeah, and really brought my attention to tune in with bands I'd never heard of. Chris Moyles now hosts their morning show with some of his gang from Radio 1 and their music choices are absolutely go-to now. Since listening, I've booked 4 concerts. Yeah, great. I mean, God, looking forward to going to a concert.
Yes.
Do you know what? I got another invite to Glastonbury today.
And I've had, from Chloe and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Who have you got?
From the gang. Yeah. You know, but
I know. You should go.
No, I can't go. I've got too much to do.
Okay.
Going to concerts is fantastic. It says here, apologies, I pressed send without finishing my message. So my dad's 73 and I both completed a tandem skydive. 73? A tandem skydive?
That's brilliant.
With Northwest Skydiving a few weeks ago, the centre is near Ulverston at the very top of the Lake District. Oh my God, wow, how brilliant.
The views. Yes,
I know, we go to enjoy the most amazing views. You can see the Lake District, including Lake Windermere, Morecambe Bay and the estuary. Wow, Blackfield Tower. For any adrenaline junkies who listen your podcast especially, it's a fantastic place to try this out.
Oh my God, that's a really good idea.
Thanks again for your epic podcast. I tell everyone they must listen. Your fan, bloody tastic. Thank you. I love Friday.
That's so nice. What
a brilliant. Look, Carolyn. I tell you, I took a helicopter ride over the Grand Canyon, you know, and me and Pip were in there and we were going across and with Digger Barnes. I remember Digger Barnes.
Oh my God, was that the Vegas trip?
Yeah, it was the Vegas trip. So we were all a bit hungover and all that and we were going across this whole desert thing. And Digger Barnes said, very pointed out, and he said, do you know what? He said, it's all right and everything, but can you imagine helicoptering over the Lake District? And he said, it put this to shame. And I thought, he's absolutely right.
Like, the Americans should be going in their droves to the Lake District to helicopter over the Lake District.
Well, there should be company just doing helicopter rides all over all the Lake District, because you'd look down from there and just go, wow, you know. Because the Grand Canyon's good, but once you've seen it, you've seen it. But the lake's out of this world. Carolyn, well done for skydiving and big up to your dad, 73. Oh, fantastic.
Oh.
Oh. Right, we're going to get ready and we're going out.
We're going out tonight.
We're going night clubbing.
Do you know
what you're wearing tonight?
No, I'm going to try things on and show you.
Okay, I can't
wait. You get
to
choose because I really have no idea.
I love the fashion parade.
Yeah,
I know what
I'm
wearing.
Can't wait.
I'll show you. We'll take a picture of ourselves on the way out. Have a lovely weekend and week and time and everything, people.
We love you.
Take care, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.